Well, good morning. Sure is good to be back here. It's been a while. Can't remember the last time. I don't think we had much of a chance last year, but up to that point, we was here probably two, three, four times every year for a lot of years. And it is so good to be back in other ways too, just to be amongst the Lord's people in the flesh. Well, in talking with Tim, he mentioned that most of the speakers were speaking on various books in the Bible recently. And he went through the various books that were being taught and so forth. And I said, well, would you maybe like something from me a little different than another book in the Bible? You know, I've taught a lot of books from God's Word here and other places as well. And I'm always willing to do that. I said, but sometimes maybe a little break and have some kind of topical types of studies. And he said, well, maybe that would be good for just a little chase. So basically what we're going to be doing, I'm not going to be speaking on a book in the Bible, the Sundays that I'm invited here. I'm going to be speaking on some things the Lord has kind of laid in my heart, which I feel are very relevant to the Lord's people today. And in fact, the opening song was my request. Dear brother came up and asked me just before, do you have a song in mind? Of course, I already didn't. But then I thought about the topic today, which is going to be Psalm 25. So you can start by opening your Bibles to Psalm 25. But have thine own way, Lord. Because in this Psalm of David, in Psalm 25, we're going to be talking about some very practical things. Now, we all know that David, we had a Psalm of David read earlier today in the early part of the breaking of bread. There's a lot of the Psalms, as you know, are written by David through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And in Psalm 25, we have some marvelous truths that are brought before us. It's a lovely Psalm. Obviously, we can't cover this whole Psalm. But when you look at the book of Psalms in itself, you know, it can be read historically, prophetically, typically, messianically. But today we're going to focus on how it can be spoken on spiritually. And what I mean by spiritually is it's a presentation of spiritual truth that is applicable to God's people in every age. Now, we all know David, again, was a man after God's own heart. And yet, when you read the Psalms of David, and they're many and they're beautiful, but I'll tell you, there's some that bring it to light. David was anything but perfect. You know, David was, yes, a man after God's own heart. And at the same time, many of the Psalms of David, he's asking the Lord for forgiveness, for help, for instruction, for leading and guiding and direction. And I thought, you know, as we looked at this particular psalm, and I'm going to take just a moment to read through it with you. I think it's important to read through the psalm itself. But I'll mention in a moment just exactly what we're going to focus on, which is some very minute little things. So let's just take a moment to read together from Psalm 25. I'm reading from the New King James Version. I've already seen and listened to many of the versions being dealt with here. I know they're different. That's okay. They're all good. It's God's Word. But this is coming from the New King James. So you can just listen or try to follow along, whatever your translation is. But David writes, to you, O Lord, I lift my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed. Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, your tender mercies and your loving kindnesses, for they are from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me. For your goodness sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice. The humble he teaches his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my iniquity, for it is great. Who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way he chooses. He himself shall dwell in prosperity, and all his descendants shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. My eyes are ever towards the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn yourself to me and have mercy on me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have enlarged. Bring me out of my distresses. Look on my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider my enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait upon you. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all their troubles. Now God will bless the reading of his word. Now, the way we're going to look at this particular psalm is going to be from a spiritual point of view. In other words, a presentation of spiritual truth, which is applicable to God's people in every age. Now, this is a long time ago. And again, we all understand and think of David, you know, as being, yes, the man after God's own heart. But you know, as you read the Psalms and you read about David's life in Scripture, sometimes you would scratch your head and say, really? You know, David wasn't a perfect man by any stretch of the imagination. And you know, neither are you or I. Yes, we have the Lord in our lives, and boy, we rejoice in that. And why do we rejoice in it? Because we know what we are without Christ in our life, and what we would be like if Christ was not in our life. Because you see, we as David are wicked people. We have this sinful nature within us. And what I want to focus on this morning are just six little phrases which contain a verb. Now, what is a verb? I'm sure all you young people know exactly how to define a verb. And there's many ways you can do that. But basically, a verb is simply, it emphasizes action. So we're going to look at five or six different verbs, actions, with the object being me, or the object being you. And David is talking in very specific things about himself there. These are verbs that he is concerned about in his own life that he wants the Lord to deal with in his life. Now, there's no special order that I'm going to take except the one that the Lord has kind of directed me to take. So the first verse we're going to focus on is in verse 20. This is David's first request that we want to focus on. He says, keep my soul and deliver me. So the key word here is deliver me. But what is he referring to? What does he want the Lord to deliver? Well, he wants him to deliver his soul. Deliver his soul. And you know, this is interesting because this is the beginning of all Christian experience. Why do you know and love the Lord today the way you do? Because there was a day in your life when the Lord delivered your soul from sin's penalty and guilt and the wrath of God that you deserve. This is the beginning of our spiritual life. And of course, herein is the power of God through Christ manifested in redeeming the sinner from eternal death and delivering him from eternal damnation and judgment. You know, we've been rejoicing in that fact already this morning. I've been delivered from the wrath of God. I've been delivered from eternal death, which is what I deserve and what you deserve. And you know, David was very conscious of the sin in his life. In fact, as you read many of David's Psalms, he's crying out for forgiveness all the time for sin that overcome him. And yet he was a child of the Lord God Jehovah, a believer in the Lord God Jehovah with all his heart. And yet he understood, Lord, deliver me, deliver my soul from sin. Not necessarily do we have to call upon the Lord at least this is true, I'm sure, of the vast majority. I can't say it's true of everybody here. But we know that the Lord has delivered me from sin's penalty and sin's guilt and sin's wrath when I place my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know, the truth of the matter is, we sin all the time. We do. And David was conscious of that. In Colossians 1, 12 through 14, we read, "Give ye thanks unto the Father who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption, reconciliation through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." Those of us who know and love the Lord can't help but say amen to that blessed truth. In 1 Thessalonians 1:10, we live in expectation, waiting for the Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. You know, we're living in a wicked, sinful world. This world is headed to where it belongs, and that's under the wrath of God. Praise God. We're no better than anybody else out here. But we've been delivered from sin's penalty, sin's power in our life. And you know, David understood, "Lord, deliver me. Deliver my soul from all these things." You know, and David understood, yes, his relationship with the Lord God Jehovah, which is, of course, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ in the Old Testament times. But he was a follower of the Lord God Jehovah, loved him, served him, sought to please him. But he also understood hardly a day went by that he didn't disappoint the Lord God Jehovah. And if you and I want to be honest, there isn't a day that goes by that we have to call out to the Lord, as David did, "Deliver my soul from distresses." You know, here we see that our deliverance is not only the beginning of our Christian experience, it's also the completion of our Christian experience, and it's ongoing throughout our entire life. Well, each and every day, you know, it's amazing how many times I have to go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I'm sorry. Deliver me from these thoughts I've been having, from the way I've been acting. Deliver me from ignoring you at times when I shouldn't be ignoring you. I should always be focused on the things of the Lord." The second one is found in verse 17. The second verb along with me, 17, the last part of that particular verse. He says in the verse, "The troubles of my heart have enlarged, bring me out of my distresses." Bring me out of my distresses. You know, one may be delivered from eternal wrath, but experience many distresses in your life as a Christian. And I think we're well aware of that over this past year plus. So much distress in the world today, and it can't help but affect us. It just can't. We are confronted with distress all the time. Now, I realize sometimes we bring it on ourselves, and shame on us when we do that. But other times, it just comes upon us. It's forced upon us. Whether we're Christians or not makes no difference. Distress still comes into the life of the Lord's people. Now, to be delivered from distress, one must experience two things. Now, first of all, and I think hopefully all of us understand this, one thing we have to experience is knowledge of God's purpose for us through Christ. God has a purpose for each one of us in our life. And some of those things that God purposes is not something we necessarily enjoy, but he has a reason for doing it. He allows certain distress to come into our lives. It's not to punish us. It's to do what? Force us to him. draw ourselves to Him. In times of distress, and we've been faced with it, and it's not just what's out here. You know, even in the body of Christ and so forth, we become distressed as the, some of the things that are happening and changing day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. I don't know how many older saints that I have met who have said, you know, I wish it was just like it was way back in the old days. You know, I remember when I was a young saved boy at 11 and how I was brought up and what was taking place in the church. It was just a phenomenal thing. It really was. And I look back now over all these years and to the point where we're at in, quote, Christendom today. Boy, have we gone a long way downhill. Now, that's not true of every one of us. And, you know, I thank the Lord for what we have in Christ. I still can come to the Lord's house and be encouraged. I hear His word. I can worship Him and praise Him. I can experience the Spirit of God just kind of filling my heart with joy and gladness as we focus on the Lord and His word and what His word teaches us and how He gives us guidance and direction in our lives, even in these difficult times. You know, although there are many kinds of things that distress believers, I would like to just focus on one very common distress, and I've already kind of hinted at it. You know, although we're redeemed by the blood of Christ, and all of our sins are forgiven and buried in the depths of the sea, we find ourselves distressed by spending our days many times remembering and worrying over sins of the past, and we get bogged down. You know, Satan is always at work in the life of a believer. I had the privilege of leading a young Mexican man to the Lord this winter, and it was just amazing. I said, after it was all done, I said, Omar, he was a Hispanic man, I said, you just made a terrible enemy today. You made a terrible enemy. I mean, he was jubilant, really happy and rejoicing. He had just accepted the Lord. But he said, there's somebody out there, and you know who it is, Satan. He said, oh, yes. He's not a happy camper today. He has lost you. But he's not going to give up on you. He's going to do anything he can to discourage you. And it's amazing, in the course of 3 weeks, the events, I won't have time to go into all those things. But, you know, we have to understand something. Satan is always out there. He's waiting for any time he can attack the child of God. Now, he doesn't have any control over us. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in this world, by far. But that doesn't mean Satan isn't interested in disrupting your spiritual life. You know, don't look back on sins. And that's one thing, you know, it's amazing how every once in a while, the Lord will bring back something to my mind which I did probably 40 plus years ago. Which is a terrible thing. Why? All of a sudden is that in my mind? Because boy, once that comes into my mind, oh, I'm troubled. I don't like thinking about that. So I have to pray immediately. Lord, get the evil one out of here. I know where it's coming from. The Lord doesn't put those thoughts in our minds. But Satan will. He'll do anything to destroy this common bond and strength and joy you have in the Lord. Bring me out of that. And you know, more often than not, I like to say, you know, how often we fail the Lord. I mentioned it, and I don't like to keep it, but it's important to understand. You read David's Psalms. You read the life of David in Scripture. He was not a really good man overall. He did a lot of terrible things. And I'm sure, you know, you take Psalm 51, the whole Psalm is just nothing but a prayer of forgiveness. And you know, we all have things in our past. But let's forget the past. Each and every day, we are confronted with sin. Lord, deliver me from the distress of sin in my life. You know, it's so important. I start every day in prayer and in God's Word. And one of the things I pray is, Lord, keep me from evil and from the evil one today. Keep me from doing anything that would dishonor your name. It would be contrary to your word. Yeah, I pray that every day. And yet there are days I disappoint the Lord. I'm not proud of that. And I'm sure I'm not alone. But what am I to do? That's a simple thing to deal with, you know. When you find that there's sin in your life, in whatever form it might be, immediately all you have to do is confess it. Repent of it and move on. Because you see, he who confesses his sin, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us our sin, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's already done that. So now just move forward in the power of the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You see, how often we fail the Lord. But Satan is always at work. Keep that in mind. In 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. That's past, present, future. Every sin is already forgiven. And yes, I'm 80, going to be 81, I guess, this week. Is that right? Yeah. Yeah. You would think by now I would know enough not to sin. I've been saved since I've been 11. But you know, every day, a thought, an action, a lack of an action, whatever. Sin is an ongoing problem. But praise God for the child of God, they're all forgiven. Even the ones I'm going to commit after the meeting today, something's going to happen. I just know it. But when it does happen, you just do what you have to do. You confess it, repent, and you move on knowing all is well with your soul in Christ. All right, let's move on to number three. Because I get going here, and I may not get... 35, was it? Okay. Verse 7. Do not remember the sins of my youth nor my transgressions. According to your mercy, remember me. Here we have remember me. The verb, remember as an action, me. What is he focusing on? The Lord's mercy. We talk a lot about God's grace, and we should. How can you not talk about God's grace? His unmerited favor to us. You're only saved because of God's grace. But you're also saved equally because of his mercy. You know, grace, he's given us what we don't deserve. Mercy, he doesn't give us what we do deserve. And David, his essence in saying is, oh, I know what I deserve. But you see, remember me according to your mercy. And each and every day, we should be doing the same thing. You know, it's a marvelous thing to know that the Lord Jesus Christ right now is doing that. Every day at the Father's right hand. We read in Scripture, we have an advocate, a representative with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You know, God sees what we do. The Lord sees what we do, what we think, what we hear, what we listen. He sees. He knows. And we know that Satan is the accuser of the brethren. I hate to think how many times my name has come up. But I don't worry about it. Now, when I say I don't worry about it, I don't worry that God's going to change his mind about me. Because, you see, I have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And, you know, Satan may say, well, did you just see what Bob Faust did? Or what he just said? Of course the Lord knows what I just did and what I just said. But you see, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, my Lord and Savior, is right there before the Father. Father, I've already taken care of that. Somebody once said, he may not be able to say anything good about me, but he can say everything good for me. And that good is, Father, I have dealt with that. It's okay. It's forgiven. You see, it's a wonderful thing David is emphasizing. Lord, remember me according to your mercy. I want to emphasize one thing here. He remembers us for his righteousness' sake. It has nothing to do with your righteousness or my righteousness, because you see, we don't have any. There is nothing righteous about us, period. We are wicked, sinful people. We have this sinful nature within us. It hasn't gone anywhere. And it won't until the day he takes me to glory. But we do have the Spirit of God within us, who is much greater than any power in this world. And the Spirit of God reveals the will of God through the Word of God in my life. And one of the things he has revealed to me is, the Lord remembers me according to his mercy every moment of every day. And for that, I give thanks. Amen. The fifth thing I want to mention is in verse 5. Lead me in what? Your truth. Lead me in your truth and teach me. Now, lead me. Here we have the tender care, in my mind, of a shepherd. A shepherd cares for his sheep. A shepherd leads and guides and directs the sheep. And we know from Scripture, in many places, about our shepherd. We have a good shepherd, we're told, in John 10:11, who gave his life for his sheep. He gave his life for his sheep. We are also told in Scripture that we have a great shepherd who takes care of his sheep. That's in Hebrews 13:20-21. And it also tells me that I have a chief shepherd, and he's going to bring me to be with himself. He's coming again for his sheep. You know, no wonder David cries out, Lord, lead me. Lead me. Guide me. Direct me in my walk with you every day. We need that. This should be a prayer of our lips each and every day. And of course, we can't help but think of Psalm 23. We're not going to labor in that little psalm, but it reminds us our shepherd leads us. He goes before us and he walks beside us. He's always there. What a marvelous thing. Here in Psalm 25:5, he leads us in his truth. What is God's truth? Well, we know the answer to that, because in the Lord's high priestly prayer with the Father in John 17:17, he says, Father, sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. Are you spending time in this thing? Do you really want the Lord to lead and guide you in the way you should live and walk and serve? Get in the book. Get in the book. And don't just spend 5 minutes in the morning in it. You got to get in the book and study the Word of God. When you're in the Word of God, God leads you in his truth. His word is truth. Number 5. Verse 4. There's actually two things in verse 4, and I'll read it the way it is. It says, show me your paths, or your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Now, for some reason, the Spirit of God, after I got this all done, said, I think you should flip those two. So I'm going to do the second half first. I don't think I'm disturbing Scripture in doing that. It's all the same thought here. But he says here in the latter part, teach me your paths. Your paths. The Holy Spirit teaches us from the written word to draw our attention to the living word. And we all can quote only probably one verse in Psalm 119, and that's 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We're told in Scripture we are to walk in the light. And if you walk in the light, you will walk as children of light. If you walk in darkness, no light will be seen in you. And that's true of a believer. It's amazing how many people who I know profess to know the Lord who say, oh yes, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. But then you look at their life, and it contradicts what the Word of God teaches concerning these things. The marvelous thing is here, teach me your paths and your ways. But your path here, you know, in Titus 2:11-13, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness, worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously, godly in Christ in the present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And why is it so important to let God's word teach us? Well, in simple words, it's this. God's word teaches us and reveals to us God's plan for our lives. For you young people, you know that Lord has a plan for your life. You have no idea what it is really yet. Well, you have an inkling because he's already been exercising that plan. But, oh, he has so much planned for you. And even for those of us who are the oldest ones in this room, the Lord still has a plan for our lives. It's a marvelous thing. Teach me the way that I should go in my life, no matter what my age is here. And, of course, the next one that we have to move on because our time is just about God is verse 4a. Show me your ways. Show me your ways. And I think what prompted me to twist this around as I've been studying and reading about the Moses and the Lord leading the people of Israel out of Egypt. And I came across another psalm in Psalm 103, verse 7. It says, he made known or taught his ways to Moses, but his acts and actions were shown to the children of Israel. You know, the Lord spoke to Moses. This is what I'm going to do. It's time to get my people out of here. Now, we know Moses didn't have the courage to go to Pharaoh, so he sent Aaron. But the point is, the Lord taught Moses what he was going to do. And I know the people, many times when they heard it, were rebellious. But, you know, as each of those miracles took place, they were beginning to see what was taking place. Hey, this I think is going to happen. He is going to lead us out of Egypt into the promised land because he says that he made known his ways to the children of Israel. Somebody said a knowledge of acts may be dependent merely on sight, but an apprehension of ways is a product of faith and mutual love. And as I thought about this particular aspect about show me thy way on the path, one of my favorite verses, I pray it almost every day. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Is that your experience in life? Have you taken his yoke? Think about that. You know what? We don't see yokes anymore in this day and age. Unless you go to Amish country, you might see a yoke. But, you know, it's just, it's a harness for two animals. Two oxen, I guess, is what most people use. And what does that do? It keeps them on the path. Now, when I think of the Lord says, you take my yoke upon you. Well, that tells me the Lord's on this side of the yoke. That's the right side. That's why I put him on the right side. And I'm on the other side in that yoke. And now here we start walking the path together. Show me the way. And he gently will. Because, you know, sooner or later I'm going to try to get off that path. But he guides me gently back onto the path. He doesn't have to yank me like you do with these people with the dog on a chain and a harness around their neck. He gently leads us and guides us and directs us in the path we should go. Lead me on your path. Another verse, and we'll close with this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You see, may we ever be conscious and be thankful that the blessed Lord delivers us, he brings us, he remembers us, he leads us, he teaches us, and shows us in every way the marvelous love and grace and mercy he has towards us. Well, I trust the Lord will bless these few thoughts. You go home and you study this psalm. We didn't even begin to do any justice to it. We just gave you some basic thoughts. But as you noticed as we read through it, what a marvelous psalm for spiritual growth and understanding and moving forward in the ways of the Lord. Shall we pray? Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you again this morning for the great God and Savior that you are, for the loving Savior that you are to us who are your dear children. May we apply these little verbs in our own life in relationship to our walk with thee. May we allow you truly to be Lord of our lives. For if we do so, we will be the benefactors in every way of a closer relationship and walk with thee. We just ask now that you will bless us as we progress throughout this morning. We give you the praise and the thanksgiving in Jesus' precious name. Amen.